Okay, I'd like to call the meeting of the Shore Acres City Council to order at 7:03 p.m. First item on the agenda is roll call.
Daniel Woodland, present.
Richard Adams, present.
Dolly Arons, present. First item, oh, the next item on the agenda is Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag, I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state under God, one and indivisible.
Thank you.
Actually, I thought
that you could be advised. Yes, we can. Next item on the agenda is citizens' comments. Phil, I know you have something to report on Seth. Want to do that now?
Well, very little. I just was to the last week, excuse me, I had my first phone conference with that, being that most of the directors and people were at their conference in California, so they weren't back in to have their normal, regular at the table meeting per se, and we did it by telephone.
Mm-hmm.
And they reported on different projects that we're working on and what was going on and what was being achieved and what progress they were doing and so on. And it was just, I was just listening.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I couldn't participate because I didn't know anything to participate about. But it looks like SEP is their major thing is multifamily thing, apartment complexes, and so on. Poverty, not poverty, but below the minimum wage type projects, to whereas they can develop these things and manage them and whatever. So I don't know the full detail of any of them. I'm just there for the first thing.
Mm-hmm.
Today I was there for orientation where the executive director was very pleasant. He gave us as much information as he could in a short time that we were there for, about an hour and a half, 2 hours. Quite a nice booklet, well prepared.
Mm-hmm.
Well prepared with all the different things. The only disappointment was that I found very early into it that being that Shore Acres is a city within Harris County, we can't really do any of those benefits. We can't offer anybody in our city the benefits or part of their programs that they have.
Well, we have received some benefits. We rebuilt a home here and put some funds.
Right, that was decent. But I mean, insofar as a first-time buyer.
Correct.
If we had buyers that wanted to buy in here, whereas in the other counties and such, I mean, they can go in with as much as $20,000 down payment money, and which you don't have to repay, providing that you live out the term of it, which is 5 years. And it's proactive. If you're there for 3 years, well, then you only owe for two, or, you know, whatever. Which is an awfully good program, I think, for first-time buyers.
Yeah.
And they do have a good program there on Saturdays where they inform the first-time buyers of the all of the complex things that go into buying a home and what you should know and what you should look out for, what interest rates are and how to get them and so on and
mm-hmm.
so forth. It's just an educational thing for them, and I think that's a good thing. In essence, our Shore Acres people that want to buy here, that's just...
Do you know of any benefits, or can you find out what is accessible to our city?
Harris County has programs similar, but more complex, I understand. And I'm going to get the person's name from Ron to do it. Mind you, today was very quick.
Mm-hmm.
And he just sort of just briefed us on an overlay of what's happening and what takes place. But I'm going
so
to get
you're
that
saying
person's.
That any benefit would go through Harris County? It wouldn't come directly
meaning,
from Seth?
Meaning, again, I'm just referring to first-time buyers.
Oh, okay. I guess I was asking
yes.
going beyond the first-time
no,
buyer.
No, I haven't got into anything like that. It was
well,
so brief and so quick. But that struck me when he broke that up, real, you know, at the bell rang. You know, here I am. I said, well, excuse me. To myself, why am I here? you know, if I can't help people.
But there may be non-first-time buyer type programs, you know, above and beyond this, that maybe we can participate. That would be.
Well, we're going to look into all that. I'm going to do
That'd
a lot.
That'd be great.
I'm going to do a lot of research and find out why and when and here and whatever else. But it's and interesting to know who they are. Who is them?
Mm-hmm.
And they're a corporation, and from their financial statement, they're making money. I mean, it isn't like it's a non-profit organization. Maybe David could inject on something.
Well, it's non-profit, but that doesn't mean they don't generate revenue. They just plow it back into the housing programs.
Yeah. That's where their main thrust is right now. They're doing, it seems to be that they're doing very well. Very, very well organized way.
So when is the next meeting scheduled for?
They're every the fourth Thursday of the month.
They have every month.
Of the month, so it'll be Thursday. It'll be the 23rd of this month at 10 o'clock. And I'll be there.
Well, definitely let us know if there's anything that is relevant.
Well, I got to remind you, it's just one day, so.
Yeah, well, it may take a couple of months.
I'm very interested. another little thing that came up, and I'm sure David could probably, and then I'll leave you with that, about the Harris County recovery thing. You all know where all the money went, right? Because we didn't get any.
Well, it didn't go to
Seabrook didn't get any. The coastal area didn't get any. So where did the money
go? Where did it go? Do you know where it went?
Well, according to, and this was strictly voluntarily, you know, he just said, Harris County, that money went directly to most of the apartment projects in the Houston area, Greens Point, and so on and so on, and it's gone.
Well, I don't know if that's accurate, but it's an interesting statement. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that money was, when it was allocated, the city of Houston is separated out. And money that's spent within inside the city limits of the city of Houston is separate from any of the money that Harris County Recovery's got. Also, money for Baytown and Pasadena is outside that.
Well, I'm sure they just looked at the numbers of people, the amount of people in these projects versus singular homes here that needed this attention, because we had all the disaster, they had nothing. Then why they got in,
whatever. That's it. Well, if you raise that topic, I can I leave that for my report? Yeah, I'm going to delay that, talk about it in my report. Okay. All righty, thank you.
You're welcome.
Mr. Joyner.
I'm just waiting here.
Oh, please ask the question. Please ask the
question.
Well, it's a long answer. I have it. It's on the agenda. So.
Oh, it is?
Okay. Yeah, it's right here. Street paving.
Oh, okay. Okay, do you want to wait?
Yes.
Okay.
And then we'll tell you everything we know.
That's it? Well, no, he's saying...
So
he said it's on the agenda.
That's what I said. She called him.
Yeah, I call on him. It's my fault. Yeah. I wanted him to answer.
That's what I like about
him. He doesn't waste words. We're in citizens' comments. Anybody else have anything? Can you come up here, please? That's right. We need it for the recorder to get it on tape.
My name is David Draney, 3316 Miramar, the address. And I have several concerns basically revolving around the same issue, and that is, I was wondering where we were at with speed traffic studies on Miramar. We are having, it's absolutely out of control. There are people going 30, 40, 50, and 60 miles an hour down the street. Then there's some in golf carts that are going 5 and 10, and the police that are going low. But we are having just a horrible problem. And it's going to, I assume, take something serious to really get something done about it. We've been mentioning this, the traffic device that we got to check, do for the study is now gone. this is the time when it is needed on that street. I think almost everybody in the community enjoys usage of that street, and they do every manner of conveyance, whether it's bicycles, golf carts, riding, bicycles, you know, the whole nine yards. But, and I know the police patrol it, but it's not done in the fashion that is controlling the issue, and that is going to be a temporary solution to a permanent problem. We had asked for the speed bumps. I've heard nothing more mentioned. The traffic study is gone. I don't know if stop signs are in order for every intersection. I don't know what it's going to take, but something's going to have to be done before somebody gets hurt. And when they get hurt, I'm going to refer them back to the city because it's been brought to the city. And I don't want to be mean about it. I've had kind of a rough day. I'm sorry to take the tone. But people are going up to 60 miles an hour down Miramar Drive. And it's just plain and simple. And I'll be happy to get a radar and a video camera to photographically evidence this stuff so that it's known. Because I think with the machine that is that's being used for the traffic study, either elsewhere or not at all, I think people see that and a lot of them slow down. The results, to my understanding with the chief, were that there was an average of 20, that there were cars that went 5. Well, that automatically tells me there were cars that went like 45 or something in that nature. I almost want to speed up when I went across it just because it's such an issue. There are people that live in the community every single morning, everyone, a Nissan and a BMW motorcycle, both, that drive 35 to 40 miles an hour on their way to work every single solitary morning, and these are citizens. Then there are people on Fridays, weekends particularly, but Friday afternoons seem to be a particular bad time. And I think that if the police sit at the pier, they're too visible. I think if they sit down at Shell Beach, they're still too visible. As the people make the corner at my house, I don't know if they laser focus on it or whatever, but we're not getting the action. He said he didn't write any tickets for speeding, the chief.
What do you think they should say?
I had talked to several of the patrolmen and asked, and my personal opinion, and again, I think this is a temporary solution to a permanent problem, but to get some action out of some of these, at least the citizens, I think there's a shift change at 6, and we miss these two that do it every single morning.
They do it at 6?
They come like at about 5 minutes after these two pass by my house every morning, which is about 6:10 or something, and one of them sets up and sits in Cheryl Thomas's driveway, which is in the court with her permission. My suggestion as far as police action would be to, and I would be more than happy, but I don't know that my property is far enough along for speed to gather up to really do good, but there are others that would be willing to have the police pull into the driveway, and if they would be willing to get out of the car, I think most anybody would provide them refreshments to make it comfortable for them to do that and sit there like a regular traffic stop and just sit there and shoot from behind a tree or something and get these people, because they will get them, I promise you, and it is a public safety issue.
Do you think if we're there at 6 o'clock in the morning,
you'll catch those two.
Okay,
but that does not address what's going on. When David and I had talked at some length a number of months ago about this issue, and we were concerned that my concern and one other person, I think, I don't know if it was Phil or somebody else, we were talking, it was Jerry.
Mm-hmm.
We were thinking that the timing was wrong for the study, because winter time is not as much of a problem time as summertime, and right now it's horrible.
As far as I know, we can put it back, can't we?
Sure.
Yeah.
I would like to see it come back. I would like to see enforcement, and I know that they enforce, that they patrol the street. I'm not disputing that for not 1 minute. I think a more hidden presence is what's required to really run some of this Friday and Saturday traffic down. And I can talk to almost any one of the citizens on that street, and with few exceptions, I think all of them would be willing to allow their driveway to be used to park in if that's legal for the city to do so. Mm-hmm. And the police indicated that that was, if they had permission, that they could do that. And that way they're off of the street, so when these people come around the corner, they don't have a direct line of vision to the pier or to Shell Beach, which is the other place that they park. And maybe we can get some of this slowed down, because somebody's going to get hurt. And everybody likes to enjoy the street.
Did we post the results on the study on the website?
No.
Okay. I thought we had.
They're going to be with the report.
Okay. We did, you heard correctly, that the average came out to like about 20 to 25.
So I heard, now I'm sitting here at 20 to 25. So
what was it, 25?
Yeah, I think it's about 25.
Yeah.
Okay, 25. The speed limit is 20. Okay, yeah. So if we have an average of 25, we're right,
I mean,
now
some
running.
Some people are going 20 and some are going 30,
but
yeah.
But the police, and because David had mentioned there was a number of times where it clicked at like 5 miles an hour. The golf carts are going 5 to 10 miles an hour, so they're skewing our results.
No, sir. It logs every single vehicle, the direction of travel, what type of vehicle it is, if it's a motorcycle, a car, a truck, how many axles it has, by date and exact time to the second. So we know every vehicle speed.
But then if we're getting an average of 25, then we've definitely got some stuff that's over that. But that study stopped when the problem really started picking up, which is what my concern was when we got the machine. I was glad that we got it, but I think right now is when we really need it.
We can put the traffic classifier back out. Thank you. I couldn't think of the name. Jerry Victor, I don't have it with me, but Jerry Victor has a printout of the study to date. Well, no, it's not to date. It's about 3 months ago, isn't it? But we handed it out.
Yeah.
So I know you live near him. I'm just telling you in case
you
can just,
be happy to talk
just
to
go
Jerry
by and look at him. And then I think initially we're just going to increase the police presence there and put the classifier down.
Like I said, I think it's a temporary solution to a permanent problem.
I really think we're going to have to do some of this and present it sometime back.
And nothing has really moved forward on that issue. And the problem has gotten worse, I would say, twofold or threefold.
Okay.
Do you think of speed bumps?
Everybody has an aversion to the speed bumps. And that would even be including me to the point where it is an inconvenience. But the speed bumps that are proposed and would be the ones that would be required are really the only real solution to this problem being solved. Because the only other solution is to put stop signs at every single intersection.
Illegal.
So then we get back to speed bumps. And I know it's not a great solution, that I don't know what the answer is.
Well, it's enforcement. I mean, it's like you can't tell the kid to clean up the room once and do it for 18 years until you get rid of the kid. You know, I mean, the problem with speed bumps is that if the guy is speeding 55 miles down Miramar and rips the bottom of his car out on the speed bump, he's going to pay for his car.
But if he also is driving 55 miles down the street, and this has been presented before council as a real problem, and he kills somebody, and then runs into their house, I mean, then where are you at? I mean,
right, but it's enforcement. Speed bumps seem to be like a laugh, but just because we are financially responsible for any damage they do, and that kind of scares me from a taxpayer.
I think for now, I know this is going to come back before council, so I think for now we'll do the vehicle classifier, the increased police presence, and we'll come back to council.
Can we do something about trying to pull them off to a side street? Because I know that my understanding is, and I don't know what our actual laws are as far as speeding in a residential zone versus 146. My personal opinion is 146 is a problem and it needs to be addressed. But the speed within the city has a direct bearing on public safety within this city. Everybody uses 146.
And there's something you can do for me.
Yes, sir.
If you can get me the time, like the 6 a.m., these are really useful. If you know the times.
I will try to get the actual.
Most prevalent.
I'll actually try to get the license plate of the car and the motorcycle that are the offenders.
Well, that would be good. But if even
I can,
if you
the
don't.
The problem is by the time you do
I
it,
know.
They're gone.
Well, you've got the type of car, but I'm thinking in terms of us having somebody out there, because. I know they probably can't sit out there.
Friday afternoon. No, I don't want to.
So we'll just say Friday afternoon, Saturday.
And I would say early Friday afternoon and just make Friday afternoon from, say, 3 to 7 or something, because you've got them going to the club. You've got the kids out of school now.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got the weekend traffic. Now, for some reason right now, for whatever reason, traffic seems to be a little far down on traffic on Saturdays, but it has been really bad. I think. Maybe the temperature or something, I don't know.
Yeah,
let's
say
okay, but you do let me know.
I will let you know
that
I'll try and keep the windows.
That would be really helpful.
Because it's becoming a real safety issue. And, you know, a lot of these people, they try to slow down, but you've got kids. And, man, it's just a simple distraction, and they'll have wiped out three
mm-hmm.
people on bicycles right down the street. And
okay.
That's why we live here.
Yeah. And we will definitely see what we can do.
And I'll they want to use my driveway.
Okay.
And I can any time use my driveway.
Okay. I've got that down. Got Dana. Howard.
Howard Dahl, 511 Baywood. Also around Circle Park, which is posted at 20 miles an hour. Very, very few vehicles other than golf course abide by 20 miles an hour or less.
Okay.
And I wondered, is this city really responsible for the speed bumps? As like, would Houston be responsible for damage from a pothole?
Nope.
No. Well, you can talk to David about it.
We're not responsible for dips. We are responsible for protrusions.
Can we dig a few dips?
The answer
is
hey,
well, no, we've got some anywhere.
Just drive down North Country.
And then instead of calling it speed bump, speed dip, caution dip.
No, that's not how you get there on that.
Nice try. Any other comments?
Yes, ma'am.
Want to come up?
Pascal, I live at 3302 Miramar.
Can you come up here, please?
Yes, ma'am. I will.
Thank you.
I live on the corner, just down the street from Phil. You would think a little S curve and then the curve around there would slow people down. Doesn't even slow them down at all. I sit out on my tree and the damn near run over me. There are teenagers particularly hit that curve and then peel their tires out towards Dave's on purpose, which doesn't make me amused, and I'm not very friendly with them. I disagree. I don't, you're a municipality. I do not believe that you're responsible for almost anything. If you know the code and the chapter and verse of the code, please tell me. I'll look it up. Virtually every city in the state uses speed bumps of some kind, and they cannot possibly, it's almost impossible to sue a city, just like it's almost impossible to sue a school district. So, you're not going to slow them down to cops. The only thing that is going to slow them down is if you do tear that underneath of their car out. So do it. You know? That means you're chewing his ass when he's out there in front of him.
How do you spell your last name?
P-A-S-C-H-A-L-A.
Okay, thanks. Any other comments? Okay, hearing none, we will move on. Approval of minutes, item 4.1, approval of the minutes for May 23rd.
Motion to approve.
Second.
That was Dana?
Uh-huh.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carried. Next item on the agenda is council report. I have a couple of things to report. I met with the Civic Association about a week or so ago, and they are going to give us they made a lot of money on that buster spoil, and they're going to give us $1,000 toward repair of our playground equipment, which we are very grateful for. It's going to be pricey. So that's looking good. There was that truck that turned over about a month maybe now on 146 and tied up traffic for 7 hours. I got an interesting call from Lyondale the other day, and apparently that truck was theirs. Not a Lyondale truck, but a contractor. I don't have the name in front of me. They were very apologetic. I talked to them about the fact that we had spoken with LaPorte and TxDOT about developing a contingency traffic plan, knowing that this is pretty routine here. I think we can count on about every 6 months a truck's going to miss that turn. And they thought it was a good idea. And so we may also get participation from some of the companies surrounding the area. So I wanted to let you know about that. What was the other one I was going to address? No, you were going to address that. Ah, that's what it was. Thank you. Based on the letter that Dana wrote, I turned out a pretty scathing letter that I sent to the agency that oversees HUD and Commissioner Mormon and Judge Emmett and Greg Abbott and some other people I probably can't remember. And we have heard back from Commissioner Mormon's office, and they have met with Harris County Recovers. I received a very interesting phone call from Daphne at Harris County Recovers. Say, I'm obligated to respond to you and give you an update, so please call me so we can meet. It didn't go over very well with me. I don't know if it was the tone or the way. I don't need an update. I don't need an update. So, I also have been in contact again with Commissioner Mormon's office, and they've been really good. Neither he nor I know what the final outcome is going to be, but they are really reading the Riot Act to Harris County Recovers, and I think it's about time, and I will keep you posted on that. And that's it. Richard, do you have anything?
I don't think I've had it.
It's our last meeting, so I don't have anything to report.
Okay. I don't know if anybody else had any meetings. However, we know that David Stahl has a lot to report under staff reports.
Yes, I do. Good evening. I'll start off with the general activities. We've not really had any additional forward motion and municipal court issues, although I plan on meeting in the next 2 weeks with the supervisor of the jail to go over procedure, court document procedure. There have been a couple little hitches in that. Some of our paperwork has gone to LaPorte Municipal Court, and some of our paperwork has gone different places and been processed by different people differently, and so we're going to establish a standardized procedure that we'll provide to LaPorte and work with them to follow so we can get that worked out. In the public works arena, we've had dry weather. No surprise to anyone. The drier the weather, the more movement we get in the ground that adversely impacts our water lines. We have had a number of leaks and breaks. In some instances, just pulling house lines loose from meters, and in other cases, causing us leaks at our couplings and even breaking some pipes. And so that work has been going on almost daily with chasing those leaks. We have raised the bar on our customer service response to that in notifying people whose homes we're working at and around, and the backfilling and the cleanup that we do, and the fashion in which we recover from that work. As you drive around the city, you'll see now that we stake and tape off areas, and we restore the surface back flat. And so you'll see some of that happening, and that's not some other contractor, that's the city doing work there. We've also worked on maintenance on some of our vehicles. The F-150 was in the shop for the weekend, and we've got it back today, and have it all serviced and back in proper condition. The Polaris also went off for some carburetor work and is back in our fleet. We don't have any significant work within our construction zone on 146, although they're doing lots of compaction and bringing things in and doing a lot of night work. But so far at this point, nothing that's causing a significant impact to traffic. They do have trucks merging in and out of that, but they're not moving the traffic lanes, and we haven't had any closures, and we don't anticipate any here in the very near future. 5212, our CDBG projects. Mr. Joyner, this will be where we talk about what we're not doing. We have our five projects. All of the projects now are a minimum of 70% complete engineering. Police station, water, and sewer projects have all recently passed the 100%. We have we do not have environmental clearance on these projects yet. We have on the water and sewer now, we have the TCEQ, which is the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality, review and approval. So the plans are approved. We have finished construction drawings here that I want to share with council tonight for our water plant number one, which is a rebuild, water plant two, which is just electrical and controls, lift station number one, which is a complete new construction from underground up, not just ground up, that will be built adjacent to the existing facility. Lift station number two is just electrical and SCADA, the controls, supervisory controls. And lift station number three is a complete rehabilitation of the facility in situ. All of those projects are integrated and will talk to each other, and part of that is also the controls that will go at Public Works Building, which is all computer-based, both accessible internet. We have a radio system that ties them together, and then one of the satellite units has a cell phone backup that will allow it to call out and connect to the internet if our internet connection here at our facilities goes down, so that it stays live all the time. In those projects are standby power for lift station number one across the highway, and standby power for water plant number one adjacent to the Public Works Building. Sat down with David Sutton, our Public Works Director, and I, and the two lead engineers on these projects, and went through every single page. We found a few things in there that we need them to change, some modifications. Access stairs, there were some construction details that were left open to interpretation that we wanted to clarify, so that we have projects that we can maintain into the future. As a small but significant example, they left all the piping without specifying whether it was to be flanged or welded. It's our requirement that all above ground piping be flanged. And below ground is at the contractor's option, flanged or welded, whichever is most cost effective for them, which is cost effective for us in their bidding process. But when we get to pump platforms, we want to have valves and pumps all flanged, so that we can do field repairs in a timely manner. So those are the kinds of things that we went through in great detail, and they're making minor modifications. None of those come to the level of requiring it to be resubmitted for any approvals. Those are just construction details. We also added a number of alternatives. Alternatives are things that will be bid on, so that we can make some selections off a menu when the bids come in. Some of them really aren't going to, they'll only be deselected if we run out of money, because there are things that have to happen from our perspective. In terms of the engineer's perspective and the grant, they don't. For example, the access drives in this were all crushed stone. We require residents here to put in pavement.
And so I would expect the city to do the same. So the access off of streets that come into facilities here in the neighborhood will be concrete. And so that's a bid alternative. It'll either happen with this or it'll happen after this, but we're going to walk the walk, we're going to talk the talk. And so there are things like that that are in here as well. One item that I think is going to be very significant for us, and we may have to look at the cost of that and perhaps move some funds to cover it, is that at Water Plant 1, you know, we're eliminating the building. The existing building is being demolished. Now, we've demolished the old City Hall already. That's separate from the grant. But the pump house is going to be demolished, and in its place will be a platform. The platform will be fiberglass grating at 8 foot, and then on top of the grating will be all the controls, the generator, the fuel tank, the chlorine room, and the booster pumps will all be on the elevated platform. The nature of this is there is a double wall diesel tank for the standby generator, and then the standby generator mounts on top of that. It's a large diesel generator. When we went through the specifications, they did not have it in a sound enclosure. I think it's very difficult for me to imagine that we're going to routinely exercise a large diesel generator of the size that this is here in the neighborhood without having some sound enclosure. So we added that as a bid alternative to the sound enclosure. They had started with that, and they had eliminated it before they got to our plan review because of the cost. It was substantial to add that. So we'll get that quoted back in there. You know, in an emergency situation, we've got a hurricane, the generator running out there, no big deal. But if we're going to exercise it weekly, it could very well be an issue we need to address. So the plans are here. I'd be happy to go over them with you in as much detail as you would like to this evening and raise any questions or issues. Now is the time before we put it out for bid if there's something else that we need to address that we might have missed. And I know some of you are more technically inclined than others and may have some good observations for us. The police station, it was at the state of 100% previously when we visited, and the streets and the storm drainage are sitting at 70%. Well, they're waiting for completion. Actually, they're not really waiting for any completion on that. That's just a matter of doing the submission. So we are at 100% on our end from the engineering on all of this. Everything, all five projects now have been approved by every element, every step except for the environmental. And we do not have environmental clearance on any of the five. We can't go out for bid on these projects until we have the environmental clearance. And I say we, our engineering.
Let me ask you a question. The environmental documents that were upstairs that you signed,
yes,
those refer water pumps, waste. Those did not include this? Yes.
Yes, we have all.
So the environmental document is done.
Correct.
We signed it.
We approved it.
We approved it. And then so now it's sitting at where?
TDRA, the Texas Department of Rural Affairs.
And all they have to do is review it and bless it?
Yes. It and every other CDBG grant environmental in the 11 counties.
And our administrator that we have hired, he's writing them to?
Yes, and she.
She is right. I would make that mistake.
You have all
How people. Sexist of me. So she's writing them to?
Yes, actually I saw her, and that's another note I have here, but I saw her at a meeting last week at a training, and she gave me a heads up that she has written some rather strenuous correspondence to the state, particularly about our projects, being that they're water and sewer. A lot of the other projects are things that you can make do without for a greater period of time, you know, if you're adding a new building or something, but the water and sewer she was particularly unhappy with.
And what's her name?
Our name is Sherry Riveron.
Oh, okay. I recognize.
Do they have? Is it even possible to make a guess as to what time frame the agency is on giving their approval?
I couldn't even hazard a guess. You know, and our contact for TDRA is very Schrodinger's friendly. You may remember Lavelle. Lavelle is the TDRA contact person, the supervisor for the projects that are here in Schrodinger's.
Can you give me his phone number, please?
Sure.
And see if it'll help any if I call him directly. I don't have anything to lose at this point. But.
And last week I did attend the Affirmatively Furthering Fair Housing training, which was held in Houston, like other places, but ours was in Houston. It was a day-long training on affirmatively furthering fair housing, which is a requirement of receiving HUD funds, of which all of our CDBG grants are. Both the Harris County Recovers and our infrastructure grants are all HUD. Texas had a complaint filed against the state of Texas, and in resolving that complaint, they did a conciliatory agreement between the state of Texas and the Housing and Urban Development, and part of that was that Texas would provide this training for recipients and all sub-recipients, and the recipient would be TDRA, City of Schrodinger's is a sub-recipient, and so to be able to get any of the money, we are required to take the training. It really is a punitive action on the part of HUD to the state of Texas, and so this is the second mandatory training that I've attended as we move forward, and now we will have to complete some other documents for HUD as part of this conciliatory agreement, all of which is to keep this award that we have for our CDBG grants on track. Otherwise, all the money would be rescinded by HUD. And so to keep that from happening, Texas has made this agreement. This is also why the second round, second cycle money has not even gone out for us to apply for yet. You know, we know we are queued up to apply for additional funding for more streets and storm drainage. And that will happen in round two, cycle two. But that can't happen until the state of Texas completes a document called an AI, which is an impediments document for fair housing. The state was behind in having done that. They're required to do it every 5 years, and they hadn't done it within 8 years of the time we had the hurricane. So now they're doing that, and it will probably be another year before that's complete. And when that's complete, we'll be able to apply for round two, cycle two. And so we'll do that. So we are doing all of the things that are required on our end. The only thing that's holding us up has nothing to do with any of those other things. It's just the environmental. The environmental studies are all complete. They've all been signed. They've all been approved by the city. They're all upstairs for anybody to review. We've had it for about a month now. And they're off at TDRA for their review and approval. And as soon as we get the letter of approval, then we will advertise and go out for bid. The bid documents are ready. All the documents are necessary on all of our projects, including streets and drainage, are just waiting for us to be able to advertise. Then we get into the whole regulatory scheme of advertising. So it's about 45 days of publishing and accepting the bids. When we get the bids, they'll come here, City Council will award the bid. When the bid is awarded, then we'll have to wait for all the proper documentation to be filed. They'll have to do a performance bond, which they will then have an insurance company write, and that will, a performance bond normally takes anywhere from 7 to 15 days for them to get a performance bond, which then provides us with insurance that they'll complete the job. If they start it, they get the bid. And they'll also have to get all their insurance and make the city named on all their insurance and provide all that proof to us, and then the engineer will give clearance, and then we will give a notice to proceed.
And when we issue the notice to proceed, we won't, that will not have to come back to council. That's something that we will be able to do when we award the bid. I'll ask council to pre-approve all that upon the city engineer saying that all the documents are in, that we can then move forward with the notice to proceed. And then the contractor clock will then start on doing the work. I know a lot of this work will move very quickly. I know they've got, the engineers have projections on these things. Even though we've not even advertised for construction of the police department, we're still within the envelope for the police station to be occupied on Valentine's Day or before. We are in the queue to have the water and sewer facilities all operational in December. And we're on January for streets and drainage to be complete. So they should all move very quickly as long as we can start the advertising process in July.
Did you have a question, sir?
A little bit in depth about this club and this obligation that we have to receive the funds to do the work that we need to do to upgrade a city that you were just talking about.
Yes, sir.
How obligated are we to them? I mean, can they dictate to such to us to say, well, listen, for us to complete all of the funds necessary for you to do whatever, whatever, we'd like to have some low-income housing or something like that. What's the story?
We're no more or less obligated than we are already. Any federal funds that flow to the city obligate you to comply with the federal regulations, CFR. And it's more than just protecting fair housing. That's what this whole issue came out of, is that we are under obligation to affirmatively further fair housing, which is, instead of not being an obstacle, we have to be a proponent. That does not mean low and moderate income housing. We affirmatively make sure our housing does not discriminate against the handicapped, race, creed, color, religious orientation, and it goes beyond that into some that you're probably not familiar with, pregnant women, women with children, single women with children, all of those fall into the HUD classifications of protected, which is beyond what you have in the Civil 1964 Act. So it goes beyond that. It's not very difficult for us to do. Basically, it just says that that we will actively review our own ordinances and regulations and make sure we're not in conflict, that we don't create zoning that is intended to bar housing to any protected class. And we and everybody else, we're just already on the hook for that.
But we had the option, whatever time it was, years ago or whenever, to accept or not accept that agreement. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
But we chose to accept it.
We chose to accept the federal money. Yeah.
If you choose to take the money, you got to abide by the rules. If you don't want the money, you don't need to do it.
Amen.
But it's not anything. I mean, we're not discriminating any of it. Not.
Well, I would hate to see this beautiful school project over here go into something that could be disastrous. I mean, I know that we don't know the old fine outcome of these things, but I lived in a very, very, I thought, nice neighborhood many years ago. And unfortunately, certain things happened within that area that it just, you needed to carry a machine gun around with you just to protect yourself. It got so bad.
I don't really think that's a concern, since the city has control over the zoning of our portion. We don't have control over the court portion, but we have control over our portion.
It's just interesting subjects.
Okay.
All right.